Human design is truly like a user manual for your life. I mean, if you think about it, the way that human design presents us to ourselves, our design, it to me, it shows us just like a computer manual telling us about our hardware, our software, and the applications that we're running. So if we are utilizing our design correctly, we're going to function at optimal rate, right? Just like if you were using your computer incorrectly or correctly, it would be able to do magnificent things or it would be bogged down. Now, magnificent things for us usually means manifestation, right? Having all of the cool things that we want to have in this life. So I have a very special expert on human design, a guest today. She is a 5-1 sacral generator, and we're going to have a great conversation about this. So stay tuned for this conversation with my special guest, Leah McLeod. Hey there, my friend, it's Trisha Carr. Real quick before we head into this episode, I just want to make sure that you know about Modern Mystic Life, a subscription service for spiritual mentoring and education. The monthly subscription is only $11.11 per month. We have regular support and inspiration delivered with the utmost ease right into your text messenger 2 to 4 times per week. You can use your mobile device or your desktop messenger to access the lessons and meditations, a monthly MP3 download of a produced meditation, at least once per month live meditation led by me. There is no account login, and we have a monthly live class workshop. These are usually $35 for non-subscribers, so it is quite a deal. And the community is amazing. This is a way for you to support the Charmed Life podcast and also a way for us to be able to work more closely together. So do check out how you can subscribe in the show notes. I hope to see you there. Hello and welcome to the Charmed Life podcast. This podcast is all about magic, metaphysics, mysticism, and the unconditional love of the universe. And I am your host. My name is Trisha Carr. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm so excited to connect with you on this episode, talking about one of my most favorite topics, human design. And as I mentioned, I have on a 5-1 sacral generator, an empath, for those of you who like that language. Her name is Leah McLeod, and her purpose is to support you in getting into spiritual alignment to manifest your dream life with human design. Leah is here to help you to step in who you were designed to be, or who you are designed as, to be more of who you really are. And with Leah, she says that by embracing the essence of who you are, everything else falls serendipitously into place with little to no resistance. So welcome, Leah. Thanks for joining me.
Wow. Thank you. This is so cool. I love the intro and the little video that you do. It's so fun.
Thanks. Well, we're live for those of you so we put this on the podcast feed as well. So welcome to those who are listening on the replay or whatever. I call it time traveling. It's not even like a replay. Yeah. We're just connecting on the spherical quantum timeline. And so I say when you listen in replay, you're actually time traveling. So welcome time travelers, as well as those who are here with us now. If you're on the live feed with us, whether it's on YouTube or we go on Facebook as well, and X or, Twitter. But I would love to hear, where you're zooming in from, not literal Zoom, but like as in virtually coming in on, and how you're meeting us. And if you have any questions or comments about human design, Leah's here to illumine us on ourselves. Isn't that a great job that you have?
Yeah. Yes. I love what I do. It's my true passion and purpose. And so I'm excited to hear from everyone live. And usually we do podcast episodes, and then I hear from people, after the fact. So how fun to get to talk to people while we're moving through. So super cool.
Yeah. Well, so I would love to, how long have you been in your experiment, by the way? Leah and I have a little history. I have been on her podcast called The Design of You. That's what it's called, right? Because that's just everything, isn't it? The Design of You. Yes. I thought so. I've been on Leah's podcast, and I don't remember if I asked you how long you've been in your human design experiment.
Yeah. So about 4 years, I got into human design, or I should say I human design found me in 2017, but I didn't start experimenting with it until 2020. So we're just coming on my 4th year of my experiment. Mm-hmm. So it's still kind of, you know, in the middle of it. I haven't had my full 7-year cycle, but you know, I say it doesn't even fully take that 7 years to really start to see the effects. It sometimes can take 1 week or 1 month of just really working with your strategy and authority to start to see the magic of human design unfold in your, to your daily life. So
yeah, it's true. I agree. I think that it also has to do with the fact that you were already doing your development and self-inquiry. You were already starting. Yeah. It's like sometimes we've started our human design experiment, even though we don't have the conscious knowledge of it yet. I don't know if I told you this on the podcast, maybe I did, but about a month before I was initiated, even heard the words human design, I had an astral projection, you know, during a dream that they showed me, my team that set it up, or my higher self showed me, they were like, it set up this scenario where there was someone who was being like not nice to me and, you know, kind of asking me to do something I didn't want to do. And I started to go with that person, but then I decided not to. But what they showed me was they kind of froze that moment and they said, so this person they showed me like an energy that was coming from her that was like a dark green, murky energy. And you're just supposed to like taste it and then let it go. But the problem is when you take it all the way in, and it basically was my identity center, and you hold on to it, and that's how you get out of alignment or sick or any of the many things. They were explaining to me my reflector aura of sampling, right?
Oh, that's so crazy. I think maybe you alluded to that. It's been so long.
Yeah.
For those of you watching, so Trisha came on my podcast. I did a whole series on each of the energy types, and then I brought someone of each of the types. And as we know, reflectors are only 1% of the population. So I think, Trisha, you had initially reached out to me to come on my podcast, maybe like a few weeks prior. And then I saw that you were a reflector and I was like, wait, this is perfect, because I've been searching for a reflector. And the only reflector that I knew that was really in touch with her human design that would be willing to come on my podcast, she was pregnant at the time. And she was like, just kind of taking a break from work. And so so that's how we got connected. And it was just so cool to hear your experience. And it's one of my most popular episodes. So
cool. You know, it's funny. Thank you for saying that. Not even for myself as much as I feel like, I'm hearing it. Did you hear that echo or something?
Oh, I don't know.
There's somebody coming. I think it was actually just like another frequency catching in.
Oh, no.
Okay. It was like a baby's voice.
Oh my gosh. No, I didn't hear that. That's really crazy.
Like a toddler's voice. Maybe I heard that other reflector's baby. I'm kidding. No, but anyway, I have a almost preemptive disappointment that I have that I like, no one wants to hear about reflectors because we're only 1%. And so, you know, people only want to hear about themselves. So I kind of like start with a disappointment. You know, we do that, right? Like you probably start with a frustration before you even start something sometimes.
Yeah. Like, you know, guard yourself a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. So it's nice to know that people are actually, you know, just interested. But yeah, I went on a tear for a little bit there where I was reaching out to fantastic human design experts on Instagram and welcoming them onto my podcast. And so I had Erin Claire Jones on a couple of times, actually. So yeah, I had some really fantastic guests on, one of which is you. So, well, no, actually, this is your first time being on mine, but I got to go on yours.
I think maybe we did an Instagram something or other, perhaps. I don't know. Maybe we've done something, but yeah. So I'm just happy to be here. And I mean, there's so many amazing voices to learn human design from. And I love Erin so much. I've taken her courses she's a good friend of mine. And it's so cool to kind of hear the different perspectives. And I honestly think what you said about reflectors is totally not true. I think so many people are curious to learn about reflectors because they're so, you know, different and they have just such a different energy than, you know, most of us. So it's cool to hear from someone's perspective because they're hard to find. So a lot of times what happens with me is that people will come to me for a human design reading and they have a reflector in their family. And then they're like, I don't know, you know, how to understand them. They don't know their human design. And so they're searching for content to try and learn more. And I honestly feel like there's a gap. So any reflectors listening, Trisha yourself, like start talking more about what it means, because I think that, yeah, I think that a lot of people are super curious. So
I guess it's the, you know, the marketing wisdom, if we want to look at it that way, is to niche down. You can't get more niche than 1%.
Yeah. No kidding, right? Yeah.
But you know, the other thing is that's I think is in, you know, as reflectors, we're kind of just interested in everybody. So mm-hmm. I think sometimes we talk about what it's like to be us, but we're actually interested in what it's like to be you, as our conscious question is, who are you? What is the world? And so, Leah, who are you? What is the world of Leah? How are you? What are you excited about right now? Helping your clients in human design, or, you know, sometimes we're like, a little while there, I was on the magnetic monopole. I'm like really into my profile right now. I'm in this part, you know, where are you right now with your exploration and experiment?
Oh man. Well, you know, with human design, so I mean, the whole system excites me. I love human design. I love being a 5-1 sacral generator. I'm very proud of that. There's this somewhat thing that I've heard a couple times float around Instagram or Facebook that no other type besides projectors can guide people in learning human design. And I just fully don't agree with that. I'm so excited about it. And I love teaching and sharing about the human design system a lot right now. So as far as like, you know, who I am, like being a 5-1 sacral generator, first, the 5-1 piece is that I am someone who, I kind of like to call it the unique savior, someone who has got this like hero energy, but also there's like positive and negative connotations that can come with that. So sometimes people look at a 5-1 as the person who's going to save them, who's going to, you know, come to them and it's going to like change their whole world. And sometimes those expectations can be placed on people like me when we didn't sign up to do that. So.
Yeah.
But I do love being a 5-1 because there is this sort of, I guess, mesmerizing energy that happens with the 5 that people get drawn to. So I notice that a lot in my work. People become drawn to me. And so sometimes then they come into my world and then you never know like what the expectations, if you met them or not. And some people stick around and some people you never know. And then, you know, the sacral piece. So I have gut feelings authority or sacral authority. So it just means that I have instant access to my gut feelings, which is what makes, you know, a generator is they've got this defined sacral or, kind of gut area. It's the area right below your belly button. And really it's fuel to work, fuel to sustain energy. Specifically when you do things that you love to do, you're not going to have energy if you're doing things that you don't love to do, which is very important for generators to know, because when they're, you know, they have this warm kind of energy that envelops people around them and affects everyone. And so if there's a generator that's drained or depleted, then they typically kind of bring down the energy of everything around them, and vice versa. When they do things that they love, they enjoy, that really fulfill them, then they have this ability to really uplift the energy. So I've been really in tune with that lately as well. Just in my experiment, sometimes we get into the deep parts, like the incarnation cross, you were talking about magnetic monopole, but sometimes I will get down those rabbit holes and then all of a sudden I revisit my energy type.
Yeah. And just the big one, just the headliner.
Yes. And then there's just so much magic again.
Yeah.
So it's so funny. Like, doesn't matter how much you've learned about your type or how much you've studied it or lived it. It's like, sometimes you reread something and just the way you hear the language again, or I don't know, even reread a book that you read in the past, it's like something mm-hmm. just hits different. And so I've been in that a lot recently, specifically, I think, because I'm entering my Saturn return this year.
Oh, good for you. Yeah. I'll meet you for real in like a year or two. Really meet who you are. No, I'm kidding.
I have talked to quite a few people who have told me, some intuitive, some astrologers, who said it shouldn't be too crazy for me because my Saturn, and I'm not an expert in astrology, is in Pisces, and a lot of the work that I'm doing in the world is like what I would have been propelled into. So I thought that was really interesting, but this year specifically, I feel like I've entered 2024 kind of thinking about, you know, what does really light me up? And I've been, you know, thinking about that for quite a while, but it just feels more potent right now, thinking about, mm-hmm. you know, where do I spend my energy and how can I, you know, always be doing things that I thoroughly enjoy, and what are things that I, you know, have to do for my business or my life that I don't necessarily enjoy, and how can I find support and resources to delegate those tasks? And I feel really excited about that because I've always been someone who does it all. I'm very much a worker bee, and I'm always careful when I talk about that because I know that in human design, there's a lot of conversation around how often we You know, we talk about work and output and energy and sustaining our energy. And a lot of us, really none of us are designed to kind of work a big 9 to 5, but generators get told that they can do that sometimes. And I don't think that that's true, but I personally am someone who has a ton of energy as it is. And I just think that I have been really evaluating though, how can I do use that on things that I like fully enjoy, and where are the areas, and maybe it's things that I've enjoyed in the past that now I've just noticed that I'm not enjoying as much, and how can I start to divvy that stuff up so I can really protect my life force and put it into a lot of beautiful things that we're doing at the Design of You. So,
oh, wonderful. Do you have an open or undefined heart will center?
It's defined.
It's defined. Okay. I was just curious what other motor you had, motor you had defined since you have the open.
Defined ego, defined sacral. Yep.
Awesome. And head and ajna are undefined?
My throat, head and ajna and solar plexus are undefined.
Got it. Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly like my husband, except that he's his sacral is undefined. Oh, his sacral is undefined. His emotional center is defined. Okay. I'm curious. I would love to hear from you. If there's a difference, or can you feel a difference between a generator using their energy working on something they don't love versus a generator not using up their energy? Like they just aren't, you know, they're not using it all, you know? And because I think that I know that if you don't use it all, certainly if you don't use it correctly for you, then sometimes a generator can get insomnia or something like that. But this way of energy usage, is there any difference here to you? Is there any nuance you'd like to share with us?
Oh, yeah, for sure. So first and foremost, a generator doing what they like to do, what I see is that they will, when they're doing something that they enjoy doing, they can get it done quickly. So you'll see people who are working on something and it's like they have to see it through. So oftentimes, when I'm thinking, for example, a couple of my friends, most of my friends are generators and manifesting generators, which I think is so funny. We must attract types. But, you know, I'm thinking of a couple of them that I've worked with. And it's like when there's a project that they're really excited about, it's like it happens within the week, you know, whereas if they weren't excited about it and they were maybe told to do that by a boss, or, you know, it was something that someone expected of them and they tried to do the same thing, it would take them, you know, months to get one thing done. So I find that when a generator is doing something they like, there is this difference of like how quickly and how much energy they pour into it. And it just happens for them. Now, if they aren't doing things that they love, one, again, it will take longer. But then two, to your question of, do you notice that they then have problems sleeping? 100%. And I can attest to that as myself. When I don't use my energy up throughout my day, I cannot sleep at night. I struggled with sleep issues quite a few different periods in my life. And always when that's happening, it's when I didn't physically use my body. So even if I'm like working on something like, you know, computer work, that just almost doesn't even count for the output, because generators actually have to move, you know, they have to move energy around. And so I find that if I didn't get a walk in, like my steps, if I didn't, you know, do a workout, it doesn't even have to be that, but if I didn't even just like move around during the day, if I laid around, I can't sleep at night. And then my brain starts to go and I think about everything that I want to be doing. So generators, it's so important for them to use their energy up during the day. And even before they go to sleep, they should not get into bed until they're completely ready to fall asleep. So they're not the type that gets into bed and then winds down. They have to use their energy until they basically hit threshold, and then they get into bed and then they fall asleep. And it's not on your phone. It shouldn't be reading a book. It's straight to bed.
And we will be right back. Hello, Charmed Life listener. It's Trisha, and I am making a special invitation for you to Sacred Sphere. This is a bi-monthly communal learning, practice, and resonance space. It is your community for intuition, manifestation, and spiritual development. It's happening twice per month, and there are special benefits if you subscribe so that you can go to every one of these or see the replays. It is a place for your deep immersive healing and your powerful manifestation practice to unfold in your life. I'm so excited about this. The vision for this is large and wonderful. We're going to be changing our own lives, and I believe we're going to be changing the world. So check it out. The link is in the description. We can't wait to work with you, to see you, to love you there. Empowered Empath. This is a program designed for the sensitive soul, for the person with that empathic nature. And by the way, that is a healing ability. However, this is a healing ability that you can't turn off. You cannot turn off your empathic nature because it's more than just a psychic or healing ability. It is also how you are designed. So the Empowered Empath is a powerful program that is also gentle, consists of 4 modules with 8 life-altering lessons, 4 aura tuning meditations, and we have bonus group healing and coaching sessions that are coming up really soon. You definitely want to check the show notes so you can see when those are coming up. You have access to it for a whole year. You'll be able to continue to water the garden of your empathic nature. You'll learn how to feel centered and peaceful as a sensitive person, how to use your gifts as a superpower that they are meant to be, and you'll be receiving attunement and healing and new life strategies to live in the power and purpose of your sensitive nature. It's especially tailored for those who want to turn their empathic and sensory overwhelm into intuitive strength. It is immersive, yet very gentle program, and it's suitable for all levels of development. And I especially recommend it for those whose human design body graph reveals that they have an undefined emotional solar plexus. So if you are just ready to turn that sensitive sponging into the thing that we really need right now, we need your sensitive genius shining on this planet to be in the high frequency, high functioning of your sensitive superpower. So join Empowered Empath. You have access to the lessons starting right away. Oh, by the way, it's very affordable and even comes with payment plans. Only $177 for all of this content, and you can make a payment plan of 3 months or 6 months. I made it extremely affordable and accessible because I know what it's like to need the help. So if it's your first time of really healing your empathic nature, or you need to do it another time, this is the program for you. I can't wait to see you there. And now back to the show. And it's just really cool because as a reflector and other, and also projectors have some of this as well. Well, I'll say as a reflector, actually moving my body, especially doing any kind of exercise. And it doesn't have to be super strenuous. It doesn't have to be competitive or super challenging. It can be just a walk. It actually gives me energy. It's like the earth acts as a motor center for me. If I connect with her, if I'm exhausted, I'll go on a walk. Now, that means, again, it needs to be something gentle and just connecting and grounding and, you know, touching her many, many times, or yoga, of course, but really a walk is kind of like, or a hike of some kind. If I do something really competitive where I'm breaking down muscles and stuff, then yeah, that will drain me even more. But there's a certain threshold of that where it actually gives me more energy too. It's really interesting. So even like when I've had COVID 2 or 3 times, I still did my walk because it helped me. Yeah. It was healing and it was soothing for me. So, and then also on the other side, I go to bed like 2 hours at least before I'm tired, at least. And I'm in bed and I'm not doing anything. And by the way, if I'm around a lot of sacral energy, usually a lot of people, like a party or a gathering of some kind, I get like a toxic overload of sacral energy. And I'm like, I've never been on meth or coke, but I imagine that's what it's like.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. And it's totally so important as a reflector to just really take that time to wind down, to get into bed a couple hours early. That's exactly what I tell reflectors when they ask me about sleep. I'll say to them, you know, get into bed early, wind down, you know, maybe that's reading a book, maybe it's listening to a meditation or any type of activity that allows you to kind of empty, journaling, do that. Yeah. And let that energy kind of release, and then you'll be able to fall asleep. And then also the sleeping alone thing, which can be really powerful as well, is if you can, you know, pay attention to who you're sleeping next to, if they're sacrals. I think that's usually the biggest thing. And it's something to experiment with. Some people I find like to sleep with, you know, other types, and then some people don't, you know.
I sleep with my husband. He's a projector, partly because there was a time when I was not sleep, like I would just halfway through the night, it was because our bed was uncomfortable and I was going and sleeping somewhere else halfway through the night, and it hurt his sweet little feelings. He was sad about it. And I've had times where, for example, when one of my cats is sick or something, and then I separate and I monitor them the whole night, it doesn't make that big of a difference for me. But what does make a difference for me is I do need a time away from him, significant amount of time away, all alone throughout the day. So he leaves for work before I do. He goes to sleep before I do. These are kind of bookends of the day that I need some time completely outside of anyone else's energy or consciousness. Yeah. We have a comment here from Shali, I think it is, who says, I've tried to be tired to go to bed. I have to be tired to go to bed and manifesting generator. Absolutely. Otherwise, do you put yourself in a loop or something like that? If you're not tired yet, it kind of keeps you awake then.
Yeah. Well, and the difference too. So generators, they have to get into bed when they're completely tired, but manifesting generators, they can also benefit from winding down a little bit because they've got that busy energy and, you know, they go really fast and they, you know, get lots of ideas and things. So it can actually be helpful for them to get into bed a little bit before they fall asleep too.
Just do some activities. So it's slightly different. I think it's still different than me, right? Because I'm like 2 hours before and I have to do bedtime stuff while I'm in bed. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I want to share with you this interesting insight that I've noticed. And I don't know if you've noticed it. So I think it's especially manifesting generators. If I have obviously an open heart wheel center. So sometimes I made an appointment and it's not right for me. You know, I don't know until I'm there. And so anyway, basically, if you have to cancel or reschedule, sometimes, especially if they're not in their experiment, they can get really frustrated because they had earmarked that event with you to use that energy. You know what I mean? And so they're like, oh, it's like they're stuck with this energy now and they have to scramble to figure out how to use it. Whereas if you cancel on a projector or a reflector, I don't know about manifestors, but certainly projectors and reflectors, they're always like, sweet, I needed the extra time. And there's no FOMO. I mean, we want to meet with you. We want to hang out with you. We want to do the things, but also we always could use the time to relax.
That's an interesting observation. I think that's interesting because as a generator, I'm like someone who I'm like the projector and the reflector in the situation where if someone cancels on me, I'm usually pretty cool with it.
You got something else fun to do. That's the thing. And that's why I say, I think if they're not in their experiment, I especially noticed that. So they don't know that about their energy. And so they're just kind of stuck with this, you know, frustration, like, oh, now what do? I have like a buildup of energy. You know what I mean? So I think you're just like, oh, I just go do one of the other hundreds of things that I love.
Yes, exactly. You make a really good point. I'm glad you're bringing this up because I was just talking to one of my clients about this. So I teach human design readers and we had a call scheduled last week and we had to move it around. And then we had another call. She was going to come on my podcast and she had something come up and she was saying to me, I'm so sorry. And we've worked together for a couple of years now. And I said to her, I was like, Nadia, I don't care if you have to reschedule with me. I care that you're using your energy correctly. And so if you don't have the energy because it was like something with her kids and, you know, she had something show up, I'm like, I don't care. Like, that's totally fine with me. You know, I think that that's the beauty of knowing human design. And I care so much about people's energy that when things happen, sure, things can, you know, sometimes it can get irritating, you know, if there's like something or a deadline or something that you're really excited about or something you're working towards. But generally I'm pretty chill. And I find that when people understand their human design, they're all pretty chill because we all know the effects of someone using their energy incorrectly at the wrong time. It has such an impact on the presence and the delivery or whatever the, you know, the meeting or purpose was in general. So I love that you bring that up because I think it's such an important topic. And I think that so many of us, could just benefit from being like more understanding and, you know, trusting that timing, divine timing is so important as well.
And that's what I think human design is so helpful for, because let's say a person, when I have human design experts on, and they are, you know, a totally different type than me, you know, they have a lot of definition and they're some kind of generator type. I notice them when I share, they notice something about me or I share something, they pause and it's like they're processing it. And then they go, oh, you know what I mean? Like they're able to process it, to have compassion out in the world where people don't, you know, and they're just like, why aren't you doing the thing? Do the thing. do the thing. And, you know,
and the worst thing to do with a reflector is rush them.
It's just not possible. It's like, you want to see me leave? We have a comment from Tiffany. Hi, Tiffany. She says, OMG. Yes, I was just saying there's never enough time in the day. Tiffany's a projector. I know her. She's a 4-1 projector. So yeah, there is never enough time in the day. Yeah. Oh, let's talk about profile. You mentioned 5-1. Mm-hmm. So I just had a little bit of I'm 5-1 as well, everyone. And so I guess to contextualize it, Leah and I have the same profile, and your profile are those two numbers that usually follow like your type and your authority. The first number is like your personality, how you approach the world. It's what people see in you. It's your conscious presentation. And then the second number is your unconscious. It's your body. And it's also how you ground yourself. And so Leah and I have 5-1. 5 is how we approach and how people see us. And that is the heretic. I really love the classic names of them. You know, some people don't like, I love heretic because I'm like, yes, burn it down.
No, totally. It's, I had one of my clients come to me once and she was really like distraught from the language of the heretic. And we talked a little bit about it and I'm like, It really is just giving symbolism to how this energy works. So the frequency, mm-hmm. you don't have to take it so literal, you know? But I agree with you. It's cool. Like that is, you know, a part of our personality. It's the part that we're typically conscious of. It's the part that we're aware of. So when I got into my human design, I fully could resonate with that. And then, you know, that one energy is the part that other people see in us. And it tends to be something that we can totally see in ourselves too, but it's like the thing that people typically notice about us. So that research and that foundation of knowledge that you and I have to have. Mm-hmm. And I also saw that, I think, is it Shaylee or Chally? They also were a 5-1. So wonderful. I love that.
Welcome 5-1 sister or brother.
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, Ra Ruhu was a 5-1, the channeler of the human design system. So that's also really special. And it's funny because if you get into some of his work and just listening to him, you can almost notice yourself. Like, I feel like I understand what it means to be a 5-1 through my just watching him, you know, at talk and act. Mm-hmm. Hearing him speak, because there is this like level of we kind of place these expectations on him as, you know, the way he delivers the system. So, okay. It's Shaylee. Amazing.
Shaylee. Oh, good. Thanks, Shaylee. So I love my profile as well. And you know, one thing I love about being a 5-1 too, because it is one of the more common ones. It's like half of them are less common and half of them are pretty common. Yeah. Yep. I loved that. I was like, oh good. It's common because I have the rare thing.
It's so funny you say that, because I just gave a reading the other day to a reflector and I was telling her, so I said, there's two things that happens when you talk to a reflector. When they look up their human design, they're either like, yes, oh my gosh, I feel so seen. I've always felt so different. And, you know, I felt so rare. Or it's the opposite where someone goes, oh my goodness, I am so rare. And I hate this. I'm so weird. I actually got an email after I was on a podcast about a year ago from someone who was like, so I heard you on this podcast. I found out I'm a reflector. So I guess I suck. Like that's literally what they said.
I wasn't quite there, but we vacillate, you know, of course we do. We vacillate between ourself and not self. You know what I mean? But yeah, anyone does, I'm sure.
So I guess I just, you know, I have no energy in life and they sent me this long email. And so we talked back and forth and I said, I said, there's nothing to be, you know, negative about any of that because it's such a beautiful gift. But it's just funny and a great example of you either hear people who are like, I feel so seen and they really love that, or they're like, I don't want to feel more, you know, ostracized or weird than I already do in the world. And here's the funny thing. So generators and manifesting generators make up majority of the population, around 70% combined. And when they learn their human design, and this was my experience, I was mad that I was common.
Exactly. I was like, great. I'm not special.
Yeah, I was like, are you kidding me? Like I'm totally a reflector or projector. Like I was so thrown off and I'm such a generator. It's so funny to even think of me thinking that, but that is kind of what a lot of times you'll hear then generators say is like, oh, I'm just so common. And it's funny because I'm like, reflectors are so rare. And so many of us, I think, want to be kind of, you know, unique in that way. And they're usually the ones that are like, wait, I don't want to be more unique or different than I already feel.
Right. And I've seen people like not start their human design experiment because they're like, oh, I'm just a generator. And I'm like, no. First of all, I love Karen Curry Parker, how she says it. Each and every one of us is a once in a lifetime cosmic event. And there is rarity and nuance and beauty, and the complexity of who you are is vast and deep. And so, you know, it just, yeah. And again, that's all just the head stuff. That's all just the head judging, saying reflectors are weird and the rare is bad, or common is bad because I'm a generator. Like, you know, that's the BS that, you know, it's not helping us, right?
Exactly. Yep. Exactly.
So with my 5-1, I just started, I just got a new like gig, let's just call it that. So I got some new opportunity, and, 5-line popping. They're like, you're going to save the company. And, and I was like,
and I went in. Here are my boundaries, and here like what you can expect from me, and there's no more or less than this.
Yes, but the thing is, there's some of it, they're so right. Like there are things that they do project onto you that they have witnessed in you that are right. You know what I mean? Like certain talents and abilities and all that kind of stuff. So I went into 5-1 groups, and I'm like, how do I keep the projection field from flipping? Because I'm feeling so much pressure from this positive projection. I feel like any second now is flip because it's so immense. And you know, that was just a way for me to vent or soundboard. But you know what I did as just getting through that, moving through that, and the projection field hasn't flipped with this company. I realized, and you know, spirit kind of talked to me about it. It's like the projection field, basically what I'm anchoring in right now or grounding in, is the projection field doesn't have anything to do with me. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm innocent underneath it. It can be used, it can be utilized for me to be who I am in people's lives, but it's almost like part of it is for me and part of it is for them, but it really, I'm innocent inside of it. It doesn't have to do with me. It's really, so take none of it personally, positive or negative, and just keep moving around. And for me, I have to also let my identity center move me with love and in the direction that I need to be, which of course is true for all of us anyway. Yeah. So yeah, that's how have you noticed that? I mean, I don't feel personal when I look at some of the relationships that went away because I know the projection field flipped. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. As a human, you know, you have to process it, relationships ending or whatever was you were blamed for or whatever their perception you feel is wrong. But also at a certain point, I'm like, yeah, that happened, but it doesn't have to do with me. Do you have experiences like that to share yet?
Because you're
so little. You're just like just 29 or 8 or something. But
yes. I mean, so many experiences with that. I think that was when I really realized that human design had validity, was when I learned about me being a 5-1. That just brought it all home for me. Yeah. Because so many experiences where you have that. And I think that's what's wonderful about understanding your human design, because then you can say, okay, I feel this like external pressure or projection, and I'm feeling kind of the weight of the world right now. And, you know, having the consciousness to say, okay, this has nothing to do with me is a really beautiful thing. So, yes, I definitely can attest to that. Even, you know, currently I have 77 students right now that I'm teaching to be human design readers. Amazing. And, I've even felt that with my students. And it's funny because some of them come in who have, you know, taken lots of trainings. They know a lot about human design, and there's quite a few people in there that know nothing about human design or very foundational knowledge. And so I say at the beginning of that, when we get started in one of the first modules, and then I do a live round in it self-paced, but I say I'm a 5-1, and please do not burn me at the stake. Like, here's what you can expect. And I do not want the projection field. And so then I'll usually have to explain what that means to a few people, and some other people will giggle and laugh, and they're totally aware of it. But you know, I also, like you said, have to remove myself from that, you know, quote on conditioning a little bit, because you know, it has, like you said, it has nothing to do with me. It's usually just, and the other thing that I ground into is it can be a positive thing too. I think we always focus on the negative, and that was my experience initially. And actually Aaron was the person that reframed that for me, who was like, it's actually such a positive thing because you have this ability to you don't have to oversell things. You don't have to over convince people of what you can do for them. People are already drawn to you with the 5-1 energy that they are going to want to you know, work with you in some capacity, or, you know, so I always kind of lean into that. So sometimes I ground into, you know, the energy of I'm going to help them in some capacity, and I just have, oops, oh, my headphone kind of like was weird. I just have to ground into the fact that I can, that I will. And that, yeah. So that's my experience. And there's lots of more examples with like friend groups, my family, particularly my corporate job before I stepped into doing human design full time. There was a lot of experiences with that, the 5-1 energy. So.
Mm-hmm. Some of the other things that I'm focusing on are, we can go ahead and stay mysterious too. You know what I mean? Like, by the way, sometimes to soothe myself instead of the projection field, I like to just, again, I'm not trying to rewrite anyone else's experience, you know, of what human design is, but I'm like, it's not a projection field, it's a resonance field. So, so we're going to resonate or not, and that's okay for us. Yeah. But staying mysterious, because there's something that can help to set that the expectations that are projected onto you. If someone's like, how do we do this? What do we do about that? And if we go, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Just letting them know, I don't know. But I have that one line, so I might be able to find out.
Quite literally. I know a lot and I have a lot of knowledge, but I can't answer that correctly right now.
Yeah.
I think that that's such a beautiful thing too, is with human design, there's so much knowledge. And, you know, I often get asked for my students who are starting to give readings and stuff, they'll have this pressure. Specifically, I see it with someone who has a 1 in their profile where they feel like they don't have a, strong foundation of knowledge, even though they're so smart and they know so much, they feel like they have to be a full on expert to even talk about human design. And so, you know, I always say, just admit to where you're at, like just be confident in where you're at and say, you know, I'm still learning, or I just got into this. And people just want to respect your transparency of where you are in your, you know, knowledge. And then, you know, if they have more questions, it's okay to say that, hey, I'm still learning this and I have to dig into that, and I'll get back to you or send you an email or a voice note or something about that later. So I totally love that. I think it's such a great tool to just, you know, be transparent.
Yes, that's so true. And we have Lauren, who is a 6-2 manifesting generator. And Lauren says, I feel internalized pressure all the time. Oh, I'm curious about, you know, I'm curious. Well, first of all, the two line feels a lot of pressure.
That's where that's coming from.
Exactly. Because the two is the hermit. You want a hermit, but then you get called out, and that feels like pressure. I really understood that. Do you have any 2-4s, any 2-4 profiles that are close to you? Because apparently that's a great symbiosis, 2-4 and 1-5-1. And I've noticed that. Yeah, I really like 2-4.
My business bestie, as I like to say, her name's Kaylee. She does a lot in human design and business. She's Expanded Flow on Instagram, and I think that's her website. She's phenomenal. You should get to know her, Trisha. You would really like her knowledge. She's so good with new paradigm stuff as well. But she is a 2-4. And so we're always like, we're meant to be business besties because we have that harmonious relationship.
Yeah. I love it. It's really, so the 2 energy is the hermit energy. And you do, when you're hermiting, you're almost like, it's almost like a 1 line. This is why I was like, what's the difference? Because the 2s, they do a lot of study and everything. And they kind of have that thing where you're talking about also where I don't know enough, and that they feel this pressure to be, they're being called out, and people see things in them that they're not seeing in themselves. And so, which is, again, it's a kind of projection, but it's different than the 5. It's a more subtle than the 5, I would say, in a way.
Yeah. So all 5s and 2s experience a projection field. They're just in different frequencies. So the 5 is, you know, kind of that this person's going to help me, they're going to save me, they're going to be of service to me in some way. And the 2 is, the 2 projection field is around the being a hermit. So if you're a 2 and you are out and about in the world, and then all of a sudden you have to go and kind of take your moment to be alone and, you know, really kind of rest and hone in on your gifts. Sometimes other people kind of place a projection on, just on you for the fact that you're not being the person that they thought that you were and being out and about. Or, specifically with the 6, you can look at the 6 and how that happens, where the 6 is someone who is supposed to kind of, they say, well, it depends on where you're at in your experiment, but the six has three phases in life. So the first phase is around lots of trial and error, lots of experiencing, experimenting. And then the second phase of life is around really kind of integrating from 30 to 50, integrating all the lessons that you've learned from all those trial and errors. And then from the age of 50 and above, you really step into being a role model and someone that has tons of wisdom. And so people with the 6-2, they oftentimes will look at this person, and the projection field that can happen is, well, this person, they have so much knowledge and they have so much wisdom. And, you know, like I am supposed to follow their steps and do exactly what they've done. And if, you know, and just because I do that, they kind of expect the way that you've experienced life to be the way that they're going to experience life and get to where you've been. And it's usually not the case. And so that can happen with the projection. And then, you know, the projection of just when you have to hermit and be alone and go inward. And then the genius thing as well. So the 2 is all about a hermit, but it's also being a natural genius, someone who is so gifted at lots of different things. And, oftentimes unaware of those gifts. And so people can pull those out of you. And that can feel uncomfortable because sometimes you're like, I don't fully see that gift yet. So I always think it's fun as anyone with a 2 in their profile to ask someone or ask the people in their life, like, what do you think I'm really talented at that I'm not aware of? And see just what people say. And then, you know, try it on.
Yeah.
It's like that's more so cool. On the roof. So it probably feels good to be there.
Yeah, absolutely. And Victoria is a manifesting generator 2-4. And Victoria and I, we're like this too. we still feel like a beginner in my experiment. Oh, wonderful. And Victoria, you're sacral, I believe, right? Yes. And Lauren says she always needs downtime. I want to share with you something. I told you, Leah, as I step away from the microphone. So this is from my friend. Yes. This is so sorry to those of you who are going to be listening to this. I'm showing this piece of art that is created by a fellow 5-1 reflector. His name is David Roman, and I should grab his website. The website for this is soulblueprint.art. And he makes these, he's an artist. And so he makes these. It's actually another way. It's the body graph. So let's see if I can get the glare off of it. Okay. So it's the body graph. So you see how there's like the swirly lines, the lines that are going in swirls and circles. That's indicative of the reflector. And then these swirly colors, that has to do with my incarnation cross. So what this is, and then obviously you see there's like the mandala around it. So this is a way to actually embody your, by it's like an attunement. It is an attunement. So as you peer into it and as you meditate on it, and it is a way for it to come into your body. And as opposed to, you know, like the typical body graph, his inspiration for it, he was like, well, when I first started my human design experiment, the body graph with the 9 centers and the thing, he's like, it was so masculine and so like technical. And so he wanted to have a very feminine, very yin way to be able to embody in a very, and as an attunement, as an energy. So it's soul blueprint art, and yours will be unique. You know, this is just what mine looks like.
I love his website. And that's beautiful. It's so cool seeing human design get to this place. I mean, I didn't even get into human design until 2020, but 2017 was when I, you know, discovered it, or like I always say, it found me. But it's so cool being at this place. And anyone listening probably agrees that human design is still like, you know, kind of feels like it's been in its infancy and now it's having this big boom. And
totally.
So amazing, because we're now, you know, seeing all these different interpretations. And, you know, I always look at astrology as kind of where human design will probably end up going. It will have lots of different interpretations, I'm sure, lots of artistic things. This was done by a human design friend of mine as well.
That's beautiful. Yeah. I was noticing it. Is that your chart?
Yep. That's my chart. It's a pinball. So she kind of does these really cool artistic things as well. I can actually pull up her website and put it in there too, if anyone's
do that.
Maury, she used to actually, she was a dowel maker, and she did all sorts of different art. And so she found human design and it became her, you know, her thing, but she's such a vibe. I'll send you guys her website right now.
Yeah, that's great. Just pop it in the comments there, you see, and they'll be able to see it on the feed. So I would love to hear more while you're, I'll talk while you're looking that up. I don't know about you, but I can't really type and talk at the same time.
Yes. Actually, I don't even know that I can paste this in the chat fully. I think I have to connect.
Oh, we'll put it in the private chat if you see that on the side, and then I can copy it and put it in the, maybe you can't comment.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, I just did that because for whatever reason I can't reply there. So
yeah, that's probably because I'm the host. So anyway, I want to hear more about your program that you do. Is this open enrollment? And tell us all about, you know, you teach people how to become human design readers and analysts, and yeah, tell us about that.
Yep. So it's called Human Design Mastery. And we had our first round in September, and it was 6 weeks long. And it's a really great program. It's really detailed. So we did a 6 week live round, which was very short for the amount of content in human design. So we turned it into a self-paced course in November. And so anyone can join the self-paced course at any time. And there is the ability to join then a live course. So every year we run like 2 to 3 to 4 live rounds, and you have the ability to join a live round as well as having the self-paced course available. And the self-paced course includes videos and audio and, visuals, worksheets, all sorts of different things, experiment, kind of challenges and things, flashcards, all sorts of stuff inside the program. But it really came about because as I was sharing about human design, a couple years ago, I had someone reach out to me who asked if I taught human design, and I said no. And she said, I just really want to learn from you. So I started a one-on-one mentorship, and I ended up having around 8 mentorship clients, and I worked with them for about a year one-on-one and taught them human design in a very intimate capacity. And, you know, honestly, I just had more and more people. They were referring their friends, and it became, you know, kind of got to the point where I was like, I don't really want to take on one-on-one clients in this way. I'll just put the information together and then we'll do this live course. So it was phenomenal. We have 77 students, and they're all wonderful human design readers. One of the really beautiful things is it really is a culmination of all of the different studies that I've done in human design. So my background is in kind of all the things. I've taken some of the IHDS courses, that's the International Human Design School. I've taken lots of alternative courses, but basically anything I could find. We mentioned Karen Curry Parker. I've taken her course. I've taken Aaron's course. I've taken, really anything that's existing out there. I've probably dabbled in some capacity. And that's just the one line in me. I have 7 one lines in my chart. So I just loved research, and I'm quite literally obsessed with human design. So I kind of started doing it there and, or in that way. And then I just felt like, you know, through these courses, there was always little pieces that were missing, or I liked certain things from one course that wasn't in another one. And so through that, and how I've learned is just really, you know, putting this into a big document. So I have this giant document of everything I've ever learned about human design. It's about 1,000, almost 2,000 pages.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So I just turned that into, you know, a presentation, and it's really beautiful. I'm really proud of it. So if anyone's wanting to learn from me, if you like my approach to human design, definitely recommend listening to, I have a podcast and I dive into lots of things there. If you want to know more about my approach and my Instagram, you can definitely see how I speak about human design. If you're interested in joining Human Design Mastery, I'd love to have you. Our next live round is at the end of February. I think the 27th or 26th. We haven't announced the date yet, but that's when it will be starting. We'll be promoting it all of February. So I would love to have you.
And this is good. Is it good for people? I'm sorry, I didn't want to interrupt, but I want to make sure. How about people who aren't necessarily wanting to turn it into a profession? Would it be a good recommendation for them just to get deep in their own experiment?
Yep. 1,000%. So we have lots of people who are going through who just want to know it for their family, or, some people are like, you know, I'm a nutritionist and I want to know a little bit more about human design. I don't plan to give readings, or I don't plan to, you know, start a human design practice. So it's definitely a really amazing course for, you know, any kind of knowledge that you want. It's just to really kind of learn the ins and outs. And then we have a whole module on setting up your human design practice, good and reader practices, you know, how to perform different readings. So whether that's a group, a couple's reading, a twin reading, all sorts of things. And then we have, how to give, you know, just basic reading in general. So there's everything in there. We have bonus modules on animal charts, sleep, dream rave, which we kind of talked a little bit about today, but that's a whole other can of worms to unpack. We have bonus lessons on teams, purpose, all sorts of stuff. So it's really phenomenal. I'm really proud of it.
I love studying mammalian design, which is basically animal design. It's the only problem with it is that we almost never have a birth time for an animal. Even I have a purebred cat. So we have his birth certificate. They didn't take his time. And, you know, his day could be any, it could either be a reflector or a generator. And but what's really cool about animals, they're five-centered beings. I know you know this. I'm just telling everyone else. They're other mammals besides humans. And then birds are four-centered. But anyway, other mammals are five-centered beings, whereas humans are nine. And the most common type in animals is reflector, which I'm like, yay. Again, not rare in there.
Exactly. I love it. And you can see because animals are so amazing at, you know, just kind of mirroring our energy and meeting us where we're at. But I totally agree with you. I love the animal stuff. I just recently, it was right over Christmas, I was putting that bonus lesson together. And I started crying reading some of it because I do know when my dog was born, like where he was born the day. And I played around with the times and not much changes from like the kind of gap. And the only reason I know when he was born is because he was bred. And the girl that I got him from, she had posted on Facebook when it happened, like when they were starting to have the puppy. So I have the like time gap. Oh, and it just brought me to tears though, because he's so special to me. And just hearing about, you know, the different aspects that he has in his chart, because it's very different from the humans' charts. Even they have, you know, similar gates and they're similar names, but they totally are expressed in different ways. Yeah. And it just was so beautiful because my dog was really meant to be a companion and meant to have human interaction and really be an embodiment of love. And that's truly who he is. And it just made me so happy and tearful.
And one of the reasons it's also different, I would say, is because they aren't conditioned like we are. They are conditioned. They have conditioning. They have things they have to deal with because of the human race, but they aren't conditioned in the same way, you know? So like you don't have a reflector, a non-energy type versus a generator where there's a huge difference because this one has more energy than the other, because that's the conditioning that is, you know, pushing and pulling us against what would be our, you know, and we're responding to it. Well, I want to take this one. This is, I don't know how to say it's VT, Tara something probably. And so Tara is wondering, what is 6-3 personality like? And then we'll wrap after that because I don't want to take too much of your time.
Totally. That. And then just to answer Shaylee's question too, I also have a section on compatibility and connection charts as well, which is something I used to be a relationship, like not expert, but that was my focus in human design for about a year. But going to the 6-3 personality, so, you know, the 6-3 has a really kind of great marriage in their personality because, so I mentioned earlier, if you were on at that time around the 6 energy working in 3 phases. So the first phase of anyone who has a 6 in their profile, their life from the age of 0 to 30 is all about this trial and error, this martyr energy of, you know, it's the type of person that they're not going to like, you know, if they want to know if how the temperature of the water, they're not going to dip their toe in, they're going to jump right in. Like they're not here to kind of, you know, kind of feel into things. Like they have to experience it. They have to get on the roller coaster ride and fully ride it out to understand and really learn. So that is the first 30 years of anyone with a 6 in their profile. That's their life. And then the second phase from 30 to 50 is all around, okay, I don't really care to jump in the pool now. I might dip my foot in, maybe my calf. But I've learned a lot in the first 30 years of my life. And so now I'm going to take all of those lessons and integrate them into my daily life and, you know, not have to be so much of this, like, I guess, chaotic kind of trial and error martyr energy that they had most of their life. And then at the age of 50, they really step into their prime. It's really when they thrive, and not to say you can't thrive before then, but it's more like, okay, been there, done that. I understand the lessons that I've learned, and now I can really step into wisdom and I can help people along the way with the experiences that I've had. And it's a lot more about observing and being a witness and, you know, just kind of taking a step back. So what's interesting though about the 3 part of you, so this can be a challenge with having the 3 in that second aspect because you were always kind of that first phase, that martyr energy, the trial and error. That's something that happens constant in your life because And that is just a part of who you are. And so people can sometimes look at you as that person that you've kind of grown away from, because the first number in our profile is the one that we're really conscious of. It's a part of our personality that we're aware of. And so you might be like, I'm on the roof. I've been there, done that. But other people see you still as someone who is a, you know, someone who's just figuring it out. And so that can be a challenge. But the other thing that's really great is that as I mentioned, there is sort of this nice balance that can happen with the 6-3 where, you know, you will always kind of resonate with that younger version of you, and you'll always be able to tap into, you know, the mistakes that you've made and why that's led you to who you are today. So, and there's just a balance there. Whereas like you look at some profiles where it's like a 4-6, there's no real resonance between the 4 and the 6, or they're like very different. Whereas like both parts of your personality have been intertwined in some way. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Like Russian nesting dolls. You still got the 3 in you, even though you're more in your 6. Yeah. Wonderful. Well, Leah, this has been so incredible. Everyone, Leah McLeod, check out thedesignofyou.com. She has programs that she's running pretty consistently. You can learn to become a reader or just learn to integrate it into your life or your work in another way. And is there anything else you'd like to share with us before we let you go for this episode?
Yeah, well, earlier you were like, what's exciting you? And I have to let everyone know I'm building a human design app, and I'm very passionate about it. So I will be doing lots of shares related to that. I'm very curious what people want to see in an app. I used to have a background in tech. So my kind of one of the biggest things that I've wanted to do in human design is to create technology in human design. So so I just wanted to share that. I'll have some stuff being put out there. So if you guys have any suggestions, or if there's something that you feel like is missing from another app, or like just something you'd really want to see, let me know.
Wonderful. So follow her on Instagram as well. And then I imagine if we go to your website, I saw it earlier, you can find the way to join the newsletter. And those are probably the best ways to be in touch, right?
Yeah.
About that app coming out. That's wonderful. Congratulations on that. And thank you so much for coming on the show today. I appreciate you.
Thank you, Tricia. You're the best.
You are. We both are projecting on each other, right?
It's just so beautiful.
Oh, have a beautiful day. Thank you so much. Well, everyone, that is Leah. Thank you for joining us live. And before we end this episode, I just wanted to give you a heads up on a couple of things. First of all, I have in Modern Mystic Life, which I'll tell you what that is, but this Sunday, I will be channeling Archangel Uriel. I will have a moderator there who will facilitate me staying in the channeled state the whole time. So those who are coming to the session live, you can present a question, whether it's if you like Bashar or if you like Abraham Hicks, that kind of style, where you can be in the hot seat and either ask a personal question or a question about, you know, this super out there and cosmic. And I'll be pulling through Archangel Uriel for it's usually about 90 minutes, but we'll have a 2-hour session. So we have a little bit of a decompression and chat afterward as well. And that is happening this Sunday, which depending on when you're listening to this, I'll just go ahead and tell you the date. That is January 21st, 2024 at 10 a.m. Pacific. And the way that you can become a part of it is to actually either join Modern Mystic Life, which is my very, very low cost, very high value subscription. It's $11 a month for a live workshop like this, as well as a live group meditation every month. And I also send you on SMS text exclusive content throughout the week, usually about 2 to 4 times per week. You'll get some kind of delicious little nugget to dig into, you know, like between 7 or 15 minutes long of something that's amazing. I'll just say that. So it's a really incredible value, but you could also just drop in for $35. So, you know, check that out. Go to my website. You'll find courses, or you can just go to trishacarcharm.com/modern-mystic-life. And the only other thing is my empath program too, which is available right now. This is especially great for those who have the open emotional center in their human design chart, because you are fundamentally a classic empath. You experience other people's emotions as though they are your own. And the solar plexus, the emotional solar plexus, is under a lot of pressure right now because it's under a mutation. So anyway, there is a self-paced meditations and lessons there already right now. And we meet once per month, and we're meeting pretty soon. And it's very, also very low cost. So a couple of invitations there for you. So that's what I have for you in this episode. Be sure to check the show notes and be sure to go and find Leah so that you can, you know, stay on top of when she's doing these different programs that she's talked about, stay on top of, you know, the amazing content that she puts out on Instagram and when she premieres that app. So that's what I have for you in this episode. Thank you so much for shining your light on our beautiful world. Thanks for tuning in. I love you, whoever you are.